Welcome to the Bonnie Barnes Show. In this podcast, patient wife, boy mama, and star on the rise will give you a glimpse into her glamorous and chaotic world. Saddle up and hold on tight. Here's your host, Bonnie Barnes.
Hi, honey. How are you doing down there, girl?
I'm all right.
You all right?
Yeah.
All right. So, for those of you that don't know, Lauren came into town to help me with a photo shoot. And second day she got here, she's only here 2 days. She came down with a sickness, quote unquote sickness. And it's been an absolute nightmare. And I really don't know why you'd fly so sick. I don't know why you wouldn't say to your boss, hey, my employer, sick his dog. It's not a good idea for me to come to your personal home.
You had a horrible cough and chills when you got me on the airport, and now I have COVID.
Number one, I didn't have a horrible cough and chills. I had horrible allergies, which I told you, and I even took 3 Claritin for your discomfort, and I passed the hell out, missed a whole day of work for it, so it wasn't COVID, and I don't know that you have COVID either, because I feel like, you know, everybody's acting like they're still getting COVID. They're not. They're getting strep or pneumonia, normal stuff. So, of course, Lauren's here. Tanya and her have teamed up. My maid, Tanya. Tanya said, oh, I need to get Lauren a COVID test. I thought that's just what we need. Because the second Lauren took the COVID test, John freaked out. He said, I don't want this sicky girl, you know, this sick little biatch running around the house. She's got to be in the basement. I thought, okay. So she can't get on a plane and go home. She can't be helping me working. She's just going to be sitting in the basement watching, you know, The Bachelor or whatever and not working and getting paid. And that's why I think her and Tanya are in cahoots, because Tanya's babying her and, you know, bring her a heating pad and soup and all this stuff. And I'm thinking these two are trying to get workers' comp. Like these two have become simpatico, 2 peas in a pod all of a sudden. And I know why, because then Tanya's going to go, oh, I'm not feeling so good either. You know, and then they're both going to be down there and I'm going to be Nurse Nancy, which I don't think that's ever going to happen. And I said, you know what's funny? You know what's the cherry on top? When I had COVID, my maid, who I pay, you don't pay her, I pay her, said, oh, I have to stay away until you test negative, Miss Bonnie. You need to isolate for 9 days. I can't come to the house for 9 days.
Well, that was April 2020. She wasn't vaccinated yet.
Oh, coconut. Coconut is a code word that I have for Lauren when she brings up something that is impolite or inappropriate or something I just don't like. It's how I, you know, I'm Lauren's employer, but I'm also her mentor, and it's how I kind of shut her up without embarrassing her. You know, I'm being sympathetic to the fact that she's young and inexperienced. She doesn't know which way is up or down. So, like, for example, we were at Neiman Marcus, and I was trying on slacks, some new slacks in the dressing room. I said, hey, I need size 6, not a size 4. And she's like, hey, can somebody get me a size 6 over here? And I said, coconut. Like, I don't need everybody to know my size. You know, so it's stuff like that. I say coconut when what I really want to say is shut your gosh, you know, damn mouth.
So, why don't you tell everyone what happened last night? The story you told me.
Last night was a complete and utter shit show. All right. I'll ride in. I told y'all last week how Caleb is in home ec, loves it so much. You know, he's making this gorgeous gown, kind of ball gown. And they had a fashion show, you know, like a mock fashion show, fake fashion show. Lauren was supposed to go and film, but of course, that's another thing she got out of. So it was in their auditorium, and it was for the home ec class. And everybody's so excited. The kids are so excited. I'm so excited. We're sitting there. And I'm thinking, like, you know, I've seen Project Runway. I'm thinking it's kind of like a Tim Gunn scenario, like Caleb, you know, designed the dress and put the dress together. But he was kind of like the CEO. Does that make sense? He's kind of learned how to manage people and time. And so I'm thinking, oh, he's like the CEO, you know. And then I'm thinking his girlfriend, Beth, oh, bless her heart, is going to come out in the dress, like, and be the model. So we're so excited. So John and I are sitting there, you know, the whole thing. John's like, I need some. I'm going to go get some junior mints or whatever. He comes back. And right when it starts, I mean, I'm not even kidding you, because I'm holding his hand, and which he begged me. He said, please hold my hand. I need some affection. So I was holding his hand. Right when Caleb comes out and the spotlight hits him, he's in the dress. Like, he decided to wear the dress. I think he probably decided right before, because he did not tell me he was going to do that. But the strangest thing happened. So he comes out in the dress, and in that moment, John's hands get slimy wet. And I go, get your slimy sausage hand off me, my God. You know, I'm saying, how sick is that? Be sitting here with your nasty, sweaty hand on me. And then he gets a phone call and darts out the fire exit. Right when Jacob comes out, he gets a freaking work call and has to run out. I'm thinking, number one, you gave him COVID, so we have that hurdle. Number two, you know, there's some work emergency, some absolute insane thing. It was so bad. I thought, did a plant blow up? Did a factory blow up? And we're about to be on the news. You know,
to be clear, this all happened right when Caleb came out in the ball gown, right?
Yes. Yes. That's how horrible the time was. That's how horrible the timing was. It had to be so bad, whatever this work emergency was, that, I mean, I heard the tires peel out. I heard the screech of the tires. So I knew it was an emergency. And I'm thinking,
He
totally left me there. But it was so crazy, like, because I didn't hear a phone ring. So it must have been like some kind of Amber Alert, some kind of secret thing they have for work. I really don't know. I heard him peel out. And it must have been so bad, because I haven't seen him this morning either. I haven't seen him since he ran out. Anyway, it was such a bummer. He had to miss the whole show. The show was so good. Caleb has this girlfriend, Beth, who, you know, him and Beth, they have this passion together for theater. And they love doing plays. They love singing. They love all this stuff. And I thought Beth was going to be the one coming out in the dress. I thought that was kind of their whole rapport. She's larger. She's on the big, I don't know what the PC word is now. It's 2022. What's the word for it? For being large, big, big boned. She's big boned. Who cares? So is Lizzo. But I bet what happened, Lauren, is she couldn't fit in the dress. And I bet Caleb was so mad.
Isn't Beth 13?
It's never too young to get fit and moving. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. You peel out of the house and you walk around the block. Anyway, Beth is a singer and they do theater and glee club and all this stuff. And I think they sometimes are kind of competitive, but they have a spark, you know, they have a little bit of chemistry, and I'll drive them around, you know, that purple Porsche Cayenne I've been driving has the best speaker system. And so they like me to drive them around, and they listen to Les Mis and Funny Girl and all that stuff. But she sings. She's so sharp. And sometimes I have to just slam the speaker off and I say, shut up. You know, you're going to freaking blow my eardrums out, girl. You're sharp. You know, so I try to help everybody. I'm just trying to help everybody out, give everybody advice, and keep moving. So that was the whole thing that happened with Caleb. It was a major bummer. John missed it. And it was a major bummer that you missed it, because you were supposed to be there to film. And, you know, to make matters worse, do you know what happened to me after that? I stood there and I'm going, my executive assistant's in the basement. My husband's nowhere to be found. And I call Tanya. I say, Tanya, I need you to come pick me up. I need you to come to the school and get me, girl. So she drives her, you know, 1995 Solara convertible that everybody's all so obsessed with. You know, she's always driving the boys around. They think it's so funny and cool for Tanya to take them to Wendy's in the convertible. I think, well, get me a break. What's so fun about that? So she picked me up and I'm absolutely starving out of my gourd. I say, let's go to TRH and have a bite of food.
What's TRH?
Texas Roadhouse. And the only reason I brought Texas Roadhouse up, the only reason I suggested it, is to make her comfortable. You know, she's not Tiny's not herself in fancy places. Like, we went out for Christmas dinner last year, and we brought her, bless her heart, John made me. And she was a bull in a china shop at the Waldorf, talking to the staff. They're walking around, bothering guests. It was just totally awkward, and I'm thinking, oh. So,
Tiny used to work there. Those are probably her friends.
Anyway, I say, let's go have a bite, talk about what's going on. And she says, oh, Bonnie, I can't got to eat with you. I have soup boiling for Lauren back at the house, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I guess I'll have the soup that you made for Lauren. She said, oh, all of a sudden there's only enough for Lauren. And I said, well, why don't you just marry Lauren? Why don't you just go down there and have a common law marriage in my basement?
Did you enjoy the ride home at least?
Well, yeah, every convertible's fun. Okay, copping to it. Yes, I enjoyed the drive, but that does not mean I condone Tanya being an insubordinate worker the way she is with me. Then I come home, and John's texting me, what do you want from Chipotle? Can you text him, because I'm doing this right now, and tell him I want a double-wrapped burrito, white rice, black beans, barbacoa, and double cheese. I come home and Trisha, my best friend Trisha, is sitting like a toddler on the basement steps, talking in Morse code to Lauren, you know, through the wall, like Lauren needs any more attention from everybody, getting it from John, getting it from Tanya. Now she's getting it from Trisha. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Like, where's the coup?
Nice. She was keeping me company and she brought me a smoothie from Whole Foods.
Well, you're not going to lie, this, but that Whole Foods had a horrendous listeria outbreak. So did you drink the whole smoothie?
Yeah, it was great.
Maybe that's why you're so sick, quote unquote sick. Maybe, you know, Tanya's not such a great friend after all to you.
When was this listeria outbreak?
It was about 9 years ago. That doesn't mean it couldn't happen again. Then Trisha's like, hey, Bonnie, let's take two cans and attach a wire or string between them. And then I can talk to you and you can talk to Lauren through the house and we'll put it on TikTok. It'll go viral. I said, that was my idea 2 years ago when COVID first started. You're not fooling anyone. You take my ideas and you act like they're yours and I'm sick of it. And I'm going to say this right now on air. I'm going to get it on the record. If you, in fact, do have the coronavirus, Trisha has the immune system of like a little turtle. You know, the little turtles when you see them hatch in Florida and they barely get into the ocean and most of them get eaten by a pelican or a seal because they have no way to survive. That's Trisha. So how would you feel if you know what I'm going to say?
I thought you didn't believe I was sick.
If you killed her. By having her, by saying, oh, Trisha, don't worry, I'm not sick. Just sit down here and talk to me. You know, the whole thing like that. Some minutes I believe you're sick and some I don't. Like some I look at you and you're firing out text messages and playing Candy Crush and online shopping at Patagonia and whatever you do. And then other times you really lean into the character and you're like, oh, Bonnie, I can't go on. I think you're sick in the head. And I think what I really think, God, is you need like Lexapro or maybe some kind of downer because you're so anxious all the time. Like, I don't even know what to do with you. You're worried. You're pacing. We're at Neiman Marcus. You're pacing around. You're sweating. You're like, you know, so like your heart's racing all the time. And I mean, you act like I'm so mean to you. And last night, despite being, you know, despite the upset from the fashion show, despite being feeling left out by everybody, by Tanya, by everybody, I said goodnight to you. I shouted down the vent. I said, you know, goodnight, liar, goodnight, user. So don't act like I didn't, you know, touch base with you before bed. Right. Tanya has been working for me and my family, how long? Like 10 years?
Yeah, that's what you told me.
Yeah, she's been here about 10 years. How would you describe her physically, besides her height? Because she's 6'1", which is huge for a woman. That's really kind of the reason I wanted her too, for security. I felt like she would be a good, she's almost like Frankenstein, you know. Nobody's coming in the house and they see Tanya standing there at the door. She has a really short, curly haircut, which is like, she's this hugely tall woman with this short haircut. She's very pale. Have you noticed that? I'm like, do you ever go out in the sun when you're not here? And she's like, oh, you're always at the tanning bed. You're going to die before me. I'm going to take your house. I said, good luck. Good luck. Unless I kill John too. In which case, you can't have the house because the boys couldn't handle it. Tanya.
That's really calming energy.
You got to be effing kidding me. Tanya has calming energy. Half the time she comes into my bedroom in the morning, she's like, get up, get out. I gotta do the carpets in here. Stanley Seamer's here. And I just act like, well, you never told me that last night. And she's like, yes, I did. Blah, blah, blah. John already got up. Tanya is from, where is she from?
Russia.
Yeah, that tells you all you need to know. What kind of person, you know, what kind of energy she's bringing to this. She's bringing very intense sort of conqueror energy. Like she would stamp out anyone that needed to be stamped out to get her way, which she does with me all the time. She acts like,
I think that's true.
You don't think it's inappropriate that she says, oh, I need Sundays off because I have another job. She should only have one job. She's paid a perfectly affordable, appropriate salary. And I'm tired of babying her and acting like, you know, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it. She won't go places with me. If I say, you know, if you're not in town and I say, I need you to go to Nordstrom with me. And because sometimes, for those of you who don't know, I have pretty severe ADHD. And sometimes I get overwhelmed at stores like Nordstrom and I'll say, I need you to hold up this pair of earrings and that pair of earrings. And I'm just going to go like this back and forth until I can figure out which ones, you know. And she'll act like, that's not part of my job. You know, you need to take Trisha or whatever, you know. And I think, everything I ask you to do is part of your job, girl. You know, same to you.
I mean, that's not necessarily true, but okay.
Well, you're buddy-buddy with her because you went out with her and had some, you know, wild time.
Yeah, we went karaokeing. It was a lot of fun.
Do you not?
You ever been out with her? She's so fun. She's a blast.
Have I ever been out with my maid? No, I've never
John
been
out with her all the time.
John takes Tanya to the golf course and has her caddy for him. She's caddy.
I'm pretty sure they play together.
Excuse me?
That's what they told me.
He told me, oh, I'll take that, you know, cadaver, and she caddies for me and carries my clubs.
She's better than all his friends, so like it's more fun to bring her.
I smell a rat. I think so. I'm being lied to. I think I'm being lied to by John, and you know what that means. Punishment time. The ways I like to punish my husband, one of my favorite things to do, we have this movie room. Lauren loves the movie room. Lauren said, can I just quarantine in the movie room? I thought, yeah, that'd be pretty cushy, huh? That'd be great. No, you can go in the back guest room that with the sump pump. John in our movie room has how would you describe the candy? Like a dresser drawer, basically, full of candy freak. And so when I get really upset with him, I'll just lock all the drawers. Lock, lock, lock. And I'll hear him down there like, God damn it. You know, punching the drawers, flipping it and trying to get it open. And he'll never know where the key is. And it's always, I always make him suffer until he realizes what happened. So with this, you know, we'll see how long it takes for him to realize that I know that he takes Tanya socially out to the club, probably gets drunk, buys her a $300 dinner.
Does he listen to this?
No way. He doesn't even know how to open a podcast app. He doesn't know how to open Spotify. He thought the Alexa was a, what's that called? A paper towel roll thing. He was like slamming it, blah, 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 trying to open it like as a container or something. I thought, you idiot. You idiot. Sometimes I literally just want to take his head. I don't want to curb stomp him, but I'd like to like not a hard wall, not a cinder block wall. I'd like to take his head and just pop it through a wall sometimes. Do you ever feel like that? Sometimes I feel that way about you. You sitting there going, oh, if you really love me, if you're really sorry, you'll butt me up to first class. Are you kidding me? What? Do you know how much that would cost? That would cost me like $700.
More than that, but okay.
Oh, la-di-da. Someone knows all about first class. Not enough to pay for it. Lauren thinks if she sticks around with me long enough, rides my coattails long enough, she'll be some kind of, you know, EP on a big show. We'll see about that. See how nice you are to me and how grateful you are in the next couple of months. And then we'll see who's laughing.
Cheers.
Who brought you that tea?
Tanya. Mm.
Of course. I'm going to go because I am disgusted at this. And I'm sure the second we get off this, you're going to be calling people, you know, twiddling the phone cord in your hands. Oh, got another one over on Bonnie. You know, didn't say anything on the podcast, just laid there and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I wasn't born yesterday. I didn't fall off the bin moat yesterday, girl. Do you have anything else you want to say to our folks at home before we shove off here?
I think I'm good.
Oh, you're good. All right. Well, you now will have a talk tomorrow. I will talk to you then.
All right, I'm going to get some sleep.
Mm. I have a camera on you. I have a nanny cam on you. So just know, whatever you're doing, I'm seeing. Bye, everybody. Bye, everybody at home. Bye. See you next week.
Bonnie hopes you've enjoyed your precious time with her today. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please email thebonniebarnesshow@gmail.com. Address all inquiries to Bonnie's assistant, Lauren. Miss Bonnie doesn't have time to be chatting with y'all off air. Come back soon now, you hear?